Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes. All inviting you to...
Well, Jim, I've been singing on the show for 5 weeks now, long enough for you to form an opinion. Tell me honestly, what do you think of my voice?
Well, really, Bentley,
I'm not fishing for compliments, Jim. You know me better than that. If I have one fault, which I haven't, it's modesty. Come on, Jim. How would you describe my voice?
Well, have you ever heard a sow with its foot caught?
Jimmy, are you implying that my singing leaves something to be desired?
Well, your singing certainly leaves something, Bentley, but it's not to be desired.
You surprised me. I thought you were a better judge. Well, now, what would you say if I told you that in a few months' time, I expect to be up there among the really great ones?
Well, we've all got to go sometime.
The singing stars.
Oh, yes.
The singing stars. I can now reveal I've had my first offer from a recording company. Crotchet Records, Inc. want me to wax a disc under their label.
Oh.
The man is coming along this evening to discuss my first number.
Oh, is he?
No, Freddie. Izzy only does the business side.
Hey, Bentley, would this fellow be your record company man just coming in now?
Oh,
where? The preacher with the blue suede shoes and the gray suede face.
Oh-ho, I made it. Hiya there, cat.
Now, just a minute. These whiskers are purely decorative.
Mr. Freddy,
yes?
I'm your man. Now, please don't keep me in suspense. What did you think of the test record I sent you?
Yeah, now, how about that?
Well, sorry if it was a bit scratchy. It was made some time ago.
Yeah, I guess that. Who's the other voice in the background?
That was Mr. Edison telling him to stand nearer to the hall.
What, kid, you got some kind of a voice there. But, well, the only thing I really liked, that was the song. Now, that's a great number. What a gimmick, eh? Combining Hound Dog and Daddy Ho in one number. Now, let's see. How did it go again? Come on, kid.
Daddy wouldn't buy me a ball.
Oh, but you got a long way to go if you want to be tops in the rock and roll world. Oh, yes. I mean, your appearance. That's all wrong, kiddo. Just look at your hair.
What's the matter with it?
It's combed. Then it's a suit. Oh, bro, I don't mean it's personal, but you look real tidy.
Sorry, I didn't mean to offend.
You want to get some of the effect that Fatso here's got?
Hey. You referring to me?
Now, you heard? You're real cool.
I warn you, I may be, but I'm warming up.
Got with it, Butterball.
Hey.
Just look at the lapels on your jacket. That's what I call real groovy.
Funny you should say that, because actually it's gravy.
Mr. Freddy, otherwise, do you think I've got a chance as a singer?
Uh-huh.
I mean, apart from my voice and my appearance and everything about me?
I don't know. There's your style of singing, kid. That's square.
What do you mean?
Well, you can distinguish the words.
Oh, I see. They don't go in for that sort of eccentricity anymore.
That's old hat, kid. It's the least. That style went out with elastic-sided boots.
Oh, elastic-sided boots. Yeah. Those old-fashioned things. Excuse me.
Bentley. Stop trying to roll your turnips down now.
Well, I'm sorry, kiddo. You just ain't got the stuff what they want for today. No, not since Bill Haley came along. If you ain't got the rock, you're right out of stock. Oh, well. See you later, alligator.
Well. What a grand chap.
Jim.
Yes?
You thinking what I'm thinking?
I think I am, yes.
Oh, won't you go home, Bill Haley? Won't you go home? We cry the whole day long. Africa, Zika, 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 oh yes, that's where I want to be. Oh, Africa, you are.
my land calling to me. A Zack a Zeke, a Zack a Zeke. Oh yes, that's where I want to be. In Africa, hear the tom-toms as they beat tauntingly. Oh, Africa, you are my land calling to me. And oh, la la, Kayla, that means my love will walk with you. Oh, just say you say la, which means how do you do?
They say to me, Kayla, wishing that I can go with you. You are my Sudela, to bring me love that's true.
And now, Type's topic of the week. This week, we consider television's Toddler's Truce. This is an agreement that all television channels will close down between 6 and 7 in the evening in order that children will not be distracted from doing their homework. However, the latest news is that the truce is likely to be broken. And parents are worried. How, they ask, can the children concentrate on homework when there are cowboys shooting each other on the telly? Well, we've got a suggestion. Why not include the homework in the actual cowboy program, like this? Wild Bill Brady, M.A., B.S.C.
This is Dodge City, wildest town west of the Allegheny Mountains. These are an eroded mass of sedimentary rock from 1,500 to 4,000 feet high. My name is Bill Brady, town marshal. I'm 5 feet too high.
Sit down, Marshal Brady. Have a beer. You look kind of worried.
I am worried, Kitty. The Wyoming kid just shot old Luke. I found the body in the creek.
What was it doing there?
Just displacing its own weight of water.
Gee, that's tough. Have a beer, Marshal.
Why, thanks, Kitty. Say, why does a swell girl like you have to work in a saloon like this?
It's the money, Marshal. They pay me commission on every glass of beer I can persuade drunk prospectors to drink. If a drunk prospector and a half drinks a glass and a half every minute and a half in a seven-hour day, how much can I earn working 6 days a week at 37 cents per glass?
Well, now, let X equal a drunk prospector.
Hey, hold it, Marshal. Look who's just come in. Frenchie LaRue. He's mighty excited.
Marshal.
What is it, Frenchie?
Le chat est sous la table.
Well, gee, the cat is under the table.
Pourquoi le chat est-il sous la table?
Le chat est sous la table parce que the Wyoming kid has just hit town.
The Wyoming kid!
Okay, everybody. Reach for the sky. Come on, higher than that. As far up as the Heaviside or Appleton Lair. One move and I'll plug you full of 2 PBCD, 3 PBOH, 2
lead. Hey, drop that rod, Wyoming. You're the rat I'm gunning for.
I don't like that kind of talk, Marshal.
No?
No, it should be for whom I am gunning.
Get out of Dodge.
Careful, Marshal. He's drawn a bead on you.
Yeah, and it ain't the venerable bead, whose great ecclesiastical history of England was finally concluded in the year AD 731.
Oh, no, Wyoming, no. You can't shoot without giving him a chance to draw.
Can I? I've only got to press the trigger, and a bullet will emerge from the barrel. Owing to the fact that in a given quantity of gas, at a given temperature and pressure, pressure is inversely proportionate to volume. Ain't it?
Marshal, that ain't gun law.
Nope, that's Boyle's law. Or as near as I can get.
Ah. Well, now. If that's so, why don't you shoot, Wyoming? Because you can't, that's why.
Oh, can I? Get back, I say. I'll shoot.
Oh, no, you won't. A revolver only holds 6 shots. By taking the number of shots you fired coming in and adding the shots you fired into Luke, I calculate you have no bullets left in your gun.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Well, Pard, that's what happens when you don't do your homework. Trying to sleep.
You know what?
I'm sure it'll keep.
The Joneses are going to Bournemouth.
They won't. It's too cheap.
She's the one I resent.
I know.
I'd just die if they went.
I know. Go to sleep.
But my dear.
Go to sleep.
But my dear.
Go to sleep.
Oh, sweetie.
I need all my rest.
Please listen.
I'm doing my best.
My mother is thinking of traveling.
Make sure she goes west.
But our home's in the east.
I know.
Hubby, dear, you're a beast.
I know. Go to sleep.
But my dear.
Go to sleep.
But my dear.
Go to sleep.
They've got a sale of fur in town now. Don't frown now.
I'm not sore.
Well, they give you 18 months to pay, dear. Okay, dear?
Order four.
Oh, Poochie.
I give up, you win.
I love you.
And how have you been?
I'm glad that it's you that I'm married.
Stop tickling my chin.
You're so hateful like this.
I know.
All I want is my kiss.
I know, so go to sleep.
But my dear.
Oh, go to
but
sleep.
But my dear.
Go to sleep.
I got that magazine's new diet.
Well, you try it.
Huh?
You try it. I'm not fat.
Oh, but honey, your suits are all divulging. You're bulging.
Oh, no. No, not that.
Say, lover.
Too much to say.
I love you.
Then give me a break.
I'm glad that it's you that I'm married.
Okay, I'm awake.
You can go back to sleep.
Oh, no.
No, you're right. It'll keep.
Oh, no.
Go to sleep.
Oh, no.
Go to sleep. Go to sleep.
Oh, no.
Gentlemen, please, come along now, Act of Parliament. Come on, gents, drink up, Mr. Glove.
Aye.
Drink up, there's a good chap, Mr. Glove. By the way, why are you on brandy tonight?
Eh? I am on brandy tonight, Ted, for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
One of which being I've just gone through a severe emotional crisis.
Oh.
Real shaken up I am, Ted. Just look at my hand.
Yeah. Well, there is a bar of soap in the cloakroom.
No. Not the colour, the trembling thereof. What I've been through, Ted. What I've been through. Core. Look, you know my boy Ron? Of course you do. I pointed him out to you last week.
Oh, he's the one who was sitting there with his eyes closed, holding a mirror in front of his face.
That's him. That's him. He was trying to see what he looks like when he's asleep. Well, it all started some days ago. Last Monday, to be factual. I was in the kitchen, and Ron was in the front parlour with F.
Yeah.
That's his fiancée, see?
Oh, yeah.
They was playing cards at the time.
belong to the Queen of Hearts.
I like it, eh?
But, beloved, you'll never win if you just save the pretty cards. You've got to be ruthless.
Ruthless.
Oh, well, come on. Let me count up, then, what you've got. Ron, shouldn't you do something about the phone?
Yes, I suppose I should. Dad! Dad!
Hello, hello, hello. What is it, Ron?
The phone's ringing, I think.
Oh, that would kill you if I did it himself. I don't know, really. Hello! Glum, here you. Who? Oh, Rose. It's your Auntie Rose, Ron.
Yeah.
What is it, Rose? What? No. Oh, what a wonderful bit of news. Oh, I am glad. What time was it? Just after 10. Oh, well, well, well. The family will be back. Yes, of course I'll tell them, Rose. Yes, goodbye. Well, isn't that wonderful? Oh, I am pleased.
Oh, what is it, Mr. Glum?
Rich Uncle Ernest has just passed away.
Rich Uncle Ernest?
Yes, yes. I don't think you never met him.
No.
87 he was. Oh. A stone-rich man and all. He lived all alone in one of them big terrace houses, Crouch End way. Always had it, and he always stuck to it. Should cut up for a tidy sum.
You seem to be taking it very bravely.
Well, you have to, you know. Sarge, he was never very close, far as the rest of the family was concerned. A very hard-working man, soft-spoken, staunch non-drinker. There was nothing in common, you know.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Mind you, he did have a very soft spot for our Ron.
Oh, well, Mr. Glum, if he thought a lot of Ron, and he was a rich man, and he had no immediate family of his own.
Yes, without intruding a mercenary note into this hour of sorrow, 7 to 4, Ron should get a tickle. They're reading of the will Wednesday midday, so Rose says. Perhaps you'd like to come with us, Ed.
Oh, yes, I suppose it would show respect. Yeah. Oh, and it'll be a chance for me to meet some of your family, too. After all, they'll be the same people as will eventually come to our wedding.
Oh, yes, exactly the same people. Just a bit more cheerful, that's all.
Had a big crowd turn up there, Mr. Glover?
Oh, yes, Ted, all the family. And all of us come back and assembled, as you might say, in Uncle Ernest's big front room. Just all sort of standing about, murmuring in hushed, respectful tones, and quietly estimating the second-hand value of his furniture.
Yes. What does that mean about me getting a tickle?
I mean, I don't know really what.
No.
The whole thing is very sad. Still, it comes to all of us, doesn't it?
Well, I hope it does. There's an ugly rumour that it's going to charity. Hello, there's a solicitor coming in.
I have here the will of my client, the late Ernest Glum.
This is it. Eyes down, looking.
The will was made some years ago, but the main clauses are very simple. Mr. Ernest Glum left his entire estate to a number of very deserving charities.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. That's a car bucket. I shall lodge an objection with the stewards.
If you please, I must ask you to let me complete the reading.
Well.
There is one minor bequest. Subject to a simple proviso, a block of shares, which have in the past yielded the sum of about £250 per annum, is left to two... what's this name?
Well, to who?
I beg your pardon.
Well, I'm sorry if my impetuosity startled you. What I was inquiring of was Tomb.
Name? Ah, Mr. Ronald Glum.
What did he say?
Oh, Ron, it's you.
Yes.
You've been left £250 a year. Ron!
Oh, just force his head between his knees, Ed. He'll be all right.
Well, I never, Mr. Glum. Fancy you're wrong, clicking for all that money.
Ah.
But hang on, Ted.
You see, there was this proviso what the solicitor mentioned.
Oh, what was that?
You may well ask what that was. Believe it or not, Ron could only tickle a 250 nicker a year so long as he stayed single.
Oh, Mr. Clamp. Yeah. What a terrible choice. Have to choose between his sweetheart or a fortune.
His fiancée or his finance. Ted, my heart bled for the lad, Ted. Bled it, Ted. The following evening, he still didn't know what he wanted, so I thought it tactful to leave him and us alone together to sort it out between them.
Now, Ron, beloved, I don't want to influence you in any way, but I don't want you to feel obligated to me. Well, I know it's me or the money, but do what your head says, not your heart. After all, we... Ron, put down that motorcycle catalogue and listen.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. What did you say?
Ron, once and for all, right now, what's it going to be?
The 500cc with telescopic forks and a sidecar.
Oh, I see. So you won't be seeing me anymore?
Oh, yes, yes. We can still be engaged.
Ron, our marriage, all those lovely plans of ours, and the reception at the cinema Cass, and the cake with the two little figures on it, and the honeymoon.
We can still have those, eh? It's only the getting married part we mustn't do.
No, Ron, I can see where my beauty lies. Even if you did choose me, Ron, well, every time you looked at me, there'd be that little thought at the back of your mind.
There is now, Ed.
Not that thought, Ron. The fortune you'd rejected for my sake. Ron, here you are.
What's this, eh?
It's the pawn ticket. For our engagement ring. Goodbye, Ron.
Yes.
Oh, Mr. Clum. You mean that she... Oh, dear. Ain't life brutal sometimes?
Yes, it is. Fate is indeed a cruel jade. Yes. Give us a drop more brandy.
Yes.
But life goes on. Now the decision was taken, we just had to adapt ourselves. Still, that front parlour was, well, it did seem odd without S there. Oh, Ron. You haven't uttered the last half hour. Still thinking about you know who.
No, Dad. I was thinking about her.
You try and forget her, Ron.
I can't, Dad. Dad, I don't want the money. I want her.
Now then, Ron. Now, Ron. Now, don't you talk without thinking. Now then, Ron, steady. Now, Ron, £250 a year is a lot of money, Ron. Now, with that coming in, you'll be able to do a lot of things that I've always dreamt that you'd do. It's like paying for your room and board.
I want it.
Now think, Ron. Now, Ron. We can spend some money on the arse, you know. We can have some new curtains in here. Yeah. Them net curtains have been up there since the war, you know. We hung them up when the Zeppelins come over.
I want it.
Now, Ron. Think again, now, Ron. Don't get impetuosities again. Oh. Now, Ron. Think what this money can do for your dear mother. Think of your mother. She leads a hard life, Ron. Think of the pleasure it'll give her to see me wearing a new suit. Oh, yes. And as for S, well, be reasonable, Ron. If you're a young man with money, Ron, there's plenty of other fish in the sea.
I don't want another fish. I want it.
You'll have the money and like it. I'll ring Mr. Osgood and I'll tell him now. Your father knows what's best for you. Turning down a fiver a week, I should jolly well chuckle. Hello, Mr. Osgood.
Ah, Glum.
My son has decided to take the money. Yes, definitely. I don't know who would have had the money if Ron hadn't decided to take it, but you can now inform them that they're unlucky. Where would it have gone? Oh, well, I didn't realize that. Oh, well, that is something very dear to my heart, yes. Look, Mr. Osgood, I'd better ring you back about this.
Ron, come here, boy. Here. Perhaps I was a bit hasty.
You know.
Ron, I'm talking to you.
I'm not talking to you.
Ron!
If you've got anything to say to me in future, kindly give it to me verbally.
Ron, why are you being so cold and formal and distant? I'm your dad. You're my baby boy.
You separated me from Ed. I know you for what you are now, Dad. Nothing but a rotten earth separator.
Ron, don't look at me like that.
I want Ed.
Hello, Ron.
Hello, Ed.
The door was open, so I came straight in.
Oh, I see.
Oh, don't worry, I'm not staying. I only came back to collect my two Lonnie Donegans.
Oh, I can't understand. You should never have let them off this cold weather. Okay. Don't go, Ed.
Don't go? But Mr. Glum.
No, Ed. Stay. I've realized something. My boy doesn't need the good things in life. He needs you. Ron, please. Yeah. I was wrong. I admit it freely. I was wrong. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to phone Mr. Osgood, and I'm going to say to him, my Ron doesn't want your money. Let it go to the next on the list.
Oh, Mr. Glum.
Now, cherish her, Ron. Cherish her, because she's part of your life, you know. Like your comics and your zinc ointment. Hold her in your arms and hold her tight. That's it, Ron.
Oh, Ron. Oh, Ron.
Now what's the matter?
Yes, I think I've cracked your Lonnie Donegan.
Well, Mr. Glum, that's as wonderful a story of father love as I've ever heard. It's inspiration, that's what that is.
Oh, Ted.
Unbelief. Self-sacrifice.
No,
that was.
No.
I only hope whoever was next on the list to get that money appreciated receiving it.
Oh, I did, Ted. I certainly did.
You was next?
Well, I don't want you to think I let that influence me, Ted.
Oh, no.
First and last, my only thought was of my baby boy's happiness. It's a lovely drop of brandy, this is, you know. Yeah. It'll fill my tanker up again. Give us a crate of it to take home.
Certainly, Mr. Glum. Well, so you clicked for the 250 nickel a year.
Yeah.
All from shares.
Yeah.
What company is them shares of?
Oh, well, it's all here in this letter what I got from Osgood this morning.
Oh, yeah.
You read it, Ted. I haven't got me glasses.
Oh, yes, John. Hello?
What's up?
All the money you're getting will come from this company.
Yeah.
Oh.
Here, Ted. Why are you pouring my brandy back in the bottle? Show me that letter and give us a loan of your glasses. Oh, Lummy O'Reilly, the Barnes & Mortlake Horse-Drawn Omnibus Company Limited.
Harry Rabinowitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close.